Welcome to Hour 2, Backbone Radio, and it's Matt Dunn here. What is today, by the way, you ask, the host asks, and I think it is April 14th, 2024. It's kind of strange that it seems like, yeah, I mean, it's cliche to say, but my gosh, time is flying right now, and that weather out there, boy, the last few weeks on the sides of the soccer fields, one, we're standing there in a snowstorm, two, the next week, we're standing there in a windstorm just in our face. And yesterday, it's so hot and sunny, you know, I had to put on double sunscreen layers so that I didn't turn like pink or something. You know, you got to do that. You got to watch the sun at the altitude we live in. But I am that dad that on the side of the soccer field, I'm always like taking runs. I'm running around. I'm running the trails around the soccer fields when they're doing the warm-ups. And then, you know, I do my whole stretch routine. You know, you got to find moments to get that body, worked out a little bit. By the way, thanks for the amazing text to studio. I'll be going through these as I am able here. And I thought I'd talk about the secret stuff. Last caller, Jim, talking about FISA, which is a very big deal and incredibly disappointing that the Republicans tend to cave on all that. They all do, leaving the IC in control of the secret stuff and all the leverage that entails. I'll get to that in a second. But people are worried about World War III, the potential for World War III going on, some kind of a drone attack from Iran against Israel yesterday. Boy, things got pretty loud on social media last night, people saying, oh, this is going to be awful. We are here. We are at World War III. And I'll just say, this is where I'm calling for the timeout. I want a timeout until we can get the adults back in charge in November. I want everybody on the world stage to just sit still and stop all this nonsense, okay? Just take it from me. Just timeout. I want a timeout. And that means Ukraine, Russia, all the Middle East, everything, because there is no appetite for World War III. There is no appetite for this. We do not want this. We do not need this. But sometimes you do wonder if the ruling class, the deep state, want this and need this. They can get something really big going. I've been speculating, you know, could World War III be their plan to get out of this November election? You just have to wonder. And by the way, I'll say one thing. You know, you study drones and drone warfare a little bit and the future of warfare. And I've looked into this enough lately that I do think the role of the American soldier, of soldiers around the world, the actual human flying the plane, carrying the firearm out there in the jungle, in the desert, in the mountains of Afghanistan, wherever, you just wonder how much of that is going to be looked at as a thing of the past, because it's going to be all drones and drone warfare and robots. What's going to be happening with robots is rather alarming. And you can study this stuff and read this stuff, and it can make your head turn a little bit about where we're headed. And another thing related to this is, what if you have drones, robots, and the rest of it, and they get hacked by somebody else? How can you ever figure out who actually sent the drones and who actually sent the robots? Does that make sense? And what if in the world of artificial intelligence, that can be more masked and more concealed, and pretty soon things are being run by the AI itself and not the people that programmed it, and you can't find out who programmed it anyway? Anyway, I think a timeout is the answer. Let's just, everybody, settle down, sit down, take your seats, and let's not do this World War III thing. MAGA is a world peace movement, as Shem Horn is tweeting over there on Twitter right now. We had peace and love under Donald Trump. Well, we didn't have love from the cult ruling class, but we sure had peace. America was coming together. Americans who see themselves as Americans. We're Americans. We're not some hyphenated this and that kind of American with some set of identities that supersede our Americanness. No. At any rate, so that is my take on World War III. And when things start happening and you see news reports, I always, you know, step back, observe, see what's going on, get a sense of the real picture. Donald Trump spoke of his support and prayers for Israel last night in Pennsylvania. We'll get to that momentarily. But flipping over to this secrecy business, because great caller Jim just a bit ago, I mean, very frustrated. Jim is frustrated. Republican Party, there they are just supporting FISA. And I'm like, totally. It's like the worst. And Speaker Johnson is the guy that, when he was a regular member of the House, he was complaining about FBI abuses, and they get into that big database and, you know, how many millions of searches upon Americans without warrants via the FISA court. You don't need a FISA court. Just go to a regular court with a warrant, right, is what it should be. But it's not that way because the intelligence community wants to be able to spy on anybody they want to, and that is huge leverage, ladies and gentlemen. Scott Adams, the Dilbert guy, says this, and I think this is pretty spot on. Quote, if I correctly understand our system of government, when a president or leader in the Congress gets into office, someone in the CIA pulls them aside for the talk and completely changes their priorities. The public is then told the leaders now have secret knowledge the public can never know. But the leader has no way of knowing the secret information is true and in context. So that puts, says Scott Adams, the Dilbert guy, so that puts the secret keepers in firm control of the government's big decisions. If the secret keepers agree with a government policy, they stay out of it. If they disagree with a policy, they say the UFOs will attack or some other unverifiable thing. And by the way, we have recordings of every phone call you ever made and scare the leaders into compliance right in front of us. None of this is secret. Scott Adams put that out there yesterday, and I thought that was illuminating. But Speaker Johnson flip-flops, and should we hear his flip and his flop here about how, oh, he used to be against FISA, but, oh, now that he's Speaker, he's all for it, and here's the deal.
When I was a member of the judiciary, I saw all the abuses of the FBI, the terrible abuses over and over and over, the hundreds of thousands of abuses. And then when I became Speaker, I went to the SCIF and got the confidential briefing from sort of the other perspective on that to understand the necessity of Section 702 of FISA and how important it is for national security. And it gave me a different perspective. So I encouraged all the members to go to the classified briefing and hear all that and see it so they can evaluate the situation for themselves. And I think some opinions have changed both ways, but that's part of the process. You've got to be fully informed.
Have you been
informed? So he says, you got to be fully informed. And yeah, he used to sit around thinking, boy, the FBI, they're so bad. Boy, they're just spying on us, spying on Trump. They're doing all these bad things all the time. But then I became Speaker, and I went to the SCIF. What is a SCIF? Secure Compartmentalized Information Facility, I believe is the acronym. And it's kind of like in the Get Smart TV show where you go into the cone of silence and that glass bubble goes over Maxwell Smart's head, and you talk about secret stuff. Anyway, you go into the SCIF, and you start learning, oh, man, boy, there's all this secret stuff out there, and we really need this FISA stuff to protect us from all this secret stuff, which may or may not be true. And so the people that control the secrets, they're the ones who really need to be in power. See, and did anybody elect those people? The people that control the secrets and own the secrets and can leverage the secrets, who elected them. Yeah. And they decide they want to spy on Trump. Yeah. They'll just do that because, you know, we've got UFOs out there that might do something if Trump is president. That's their logic. And the American people never get to know this stuff. Yeah. Never, ever get to prove or verify this stuff. You just got to take the secret keeper's words for all this stuff. Does that sound like a good deal to you? Summertime isn't the living's easy, sings Lana Del Rey. And boy, you just feel that shift in atmosphere and you feel, oh man, summer. I still am never done with winter by the time summer comes along. I guess it's spring, but it does feel like summer. Had a great text to studio. Individual says, hey, doctor, I used to run the stairs during the kids' games if I wasn't coaching. Big amen to that. You know, when you can get a chance to work the body a little bit, you know, and there's times in life where you kind of get busy, right? And I don't do that whine, but I got four little kiddos, right? And I'm always taking them around places in the minivan, my amazing pink wife and I. And so time, you know, there isn't like all that much of it all the time. And so if you get some moment, are you going to just stand around? Or are you going to like stretch or do about, you know, 10, 20, 30 push-ups because you're on the side of a soccer field and you got a window to do it? And I used to be a little self-conscious and think, huh, what are the other soccer parents going to think if there's some weirdo over here, you know, twisting himself up into a pretzel shape, doing all this stretching or doing push-ups? But I just kind of got over that. Say, well, hey, you know, this is just how I roll, people. You know, you just got to do stuff. You got to do what you got to do. And I always make that point. You don't want to just inhabit your mind. You want to bring the body in, if at all possible. You know, you got to. The Bible talks about the body is your temple, and treat it as well as you can. But regarding the secret stuff, oh yeah, they're very, very serious about their secrets. And again, in some ways it's such a comedy. These people take themselves so seriously with all these super serious secrets out there. And they must be controlled, these secrets, by the unelected, unaccountable people back there behind the curtain because they're so super serious and so super secret. And they're just clowns back there. They're just bureaucrats back there. Yeah, a handful of them. And they get immense leverage, and technology has allowed this, the ability to save and record every keystroke you put into your computer or your phone and every phone call and go down the list. Yeah, that kind of leverage allows this small handful of warped individuals to stay in power. And then Speaker Johnson becomes Speaker, and he's like, oh, well, yeah, then I got a glimpse of this secret stuff, and now it's like, oh, yeah, we got to have this FISA business. Some courageous Republicans voted against it, okay, but most of the Republicans voted for it because most of the Republicans are rhinos. Most of the Republicans who were elected are not MAGA, and they're part of the Uniparty, and that's how the whole deal works. It's supported by the technology and the control. But what happens is that you start separating what happens in this country from what the people want. I mean, you get this incredible detachment of the people behind the curtain from the people that inhabit the country, the, quote, democracy we're supposed to live in, right? That's how it happens, that this incredible out-of-touchness of the entire Biden administration. And Alexa was just saying, yeah, worst president ever. Biden is the worst president ever. There has not been one worse. And we were talking about Jimmy Carter earlier, who was still better than Joe Biden in spite of the badness of Carter. But that's how you get inflation just galore in this country, and gas prices and grocery prices just terrible for the middle class. That's how you get all these wars going on around the world. That's how you get this insult of a wide open border in your face every day. And cannibals, like, trying to squat in your house, wait for you to come home and then eat you and then keep your house. That's, you know, that's what I'm saying. That they're so nuts that they think it's good to have a wide open border and have squatters in your house. And if they're cannibals, so much the better, according to Team Biden and these people behind the curtain. See, they've got that. And that's part of what needs to be cracked as time goes on. Rand Paul was all over this about, you know, Johnson's flip-flop. I'll get to this into the phone lines. But here's Rand Paul ripping Speaker Mike Johnson, rhino.
So Speaker Johnson was incredibly wrong. He broke the tie. He voted with the Democrats. Here we have the leader of the Republicans in the House votes with the Democrats against a warrant requirement. We also have Speaker Johnson voting for the spending package, once again, with the majority of the Democrats. as I see it now, I'm not sure there's a difference between Mike Johnson being in charge and the Democrats being in charge. The debt, the deficit this year will be $1.5 to $2 trillion, and that's Mike Johnson's bill. He put it forward. He supported it with a minority of Republicans, with a majority of Democrats. This is not using the power of the purse. This is abdicating the power of the purse.
Abdicating everything that the heartland Republican voter holds dear. It just doesn't seem to matter which Republican you throw in there, with one exception. And you know the exception. It's Donald Trump. And Donald Trump has been more persecuted than any other American political figure in history, period. They want him in jail. They're suing him. They impeached him and all this bogus stuff, around the clock PSYOP propaganda against him. You see how this works. And by the way, that locus of the secret stuff behind the curtain, which they so zealously guard, it wouldn't be as effective if they didn't have a direct and immediate pipeline to get all of their stuff, what they want, their propaganda, into the mainstream media. They just send it right out in the mainstream media. And then it gets amplified through the echo chamber. And again, it's just this small group of clowns back there doing this stuff. And they happen to be the kind of people that can't manage an economy, can't manage a foreign policy, will get this country into all kinds of grievous wars. You know, you want to go fight in the next war? You want to send your kids, your sons, your daughters over there to fight in some war for Tony Blinken and the people behind the curtain? I don't think so, folks. I'm just saying how I feel about it, and that's pretty clear. They love to talk about, quote, our democracy, the our democracy word. And it's the last thing we're living in right now, folks. We're living in a gulag. And man, they control these secrets. And man, they're going to force that FISA through. And we've got spineless Republicans in there all over Congress and the Senate who just go along with it and sell us all out. Yes, they do. And but there's one who doesn't do that. There is one, and that, yes, would be a fellow named Donald Trump, and he cannot get into office fast enough. Like I've said, I'm calling for a timeout. Everybody sit still on the economy and on foreign policy and all this war stuff, Russia, Ukraine, Middle East. Everybody just be still, be calm, because Trump is coming in November, and he's going to get all this fixed. Yes? So that's what needs to happen. Let's say hey to Brad in Lakewood. Welcome, Brad.
Yeah, thank you for hearing my phone call. Yes, Mike Johnson is the problem, but Marjorie Taylor Greene's a symptom of the problem. On one hand, we do run the risk of filing a motion to vacate the chair, but if we don't file a motion to vacate the chair, we could lose control of the House either way. Our best scenario may be to hold on to Johnson until November. The only problem is if we hold the House, then the rhinos will put Mike Johnson right back into office, because there's a group called Mainstream Republicans headed by a couple of rhinos, Dusty Johnson and Stephanie Bice, Oklahoma, and there's about 80 Republicans listed in that group. So, and we don't have the votes to get Andy Biggs elected Speaker, but nonetheless, we can't continue to put up with Mike Johnson. The only difference between Mike Johnson and a Democrat is the Democrats are honest enough to admit, this is who I am, this is what I am. Johnson's a flat-out liar. I'm sure they have blackmail on him, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I do think we're kind of stuck with him heading in. If we can hold our Republican majority, I think the Uniparty would just love to, you know, buy off another Republican like a Ken Buck, you know, part three at this point, get them out of there and flip it over to the Democrats, because they've got to preserve their narratives on J6 and the rest of it. And they would like to have a speaker in there who's can help get Donald Trump thrown in jail, right, before then. All kinds of maneuvers, but boy, Brad, it's just, you do get tired of it, looking at the rhinos and how they roll. Thank you, sir. Eric Clapton promises, welcoming us back to this segment here. Clapton, courageous guy out there. Not all that many big stars have the courage of their convictions. This guy does. There's another celeb who has waded into the spotlight a little bit here, and I guess he's always been in the spotlight, but Dr. Phil, right? We've been talking about him a little bit. over the last week or two, when I started seeing Phil McGraw, Dr. Philip C. McGraw, PhD, his name start popping up. I've got a few audio clips. I guess he's got a new show, and he's not somebody I know much about. Maybe there's some folks out there that know more about Dr. Phil than I do that might weigh in with an opinion. 303-696-1971. But it seems kind of like a welcome addition to the debate to have Dr. Phil, who seems to be kind of a just a nice, gentle Christian guy with a PhD, who has a pleasing demeanor on television, and got the mustache, doesn't have much in the way of hair, and nothing wrong with that, nothing wrong with that at all. But he's got this book, and I've got it sitting right here in my hands. It's called We've Got Issues, How You Can Stand Strong for America's Soul and Sanity. And I have not read it yet. I just got it. But if you look at the chapters and so forth, you know, there's some pretty pretty good stuff. Chapter 2, Think Freely, Speak Freely. Chapter 3, Inclusive Language Isn't Inclusive, and It's Barely Language. Chapter 4, It's the 2020s, but we're living in 1984. Huh, this is the kind of stuff that I kind of think, I like this. There's another one. Chapter 14, The Family is Under Attack. Chapter 16, The Dangerous Erosion of Faith. At any rate, maybe Dr. Phil is going to be a nice, useful addition to the discourse in this country. And had a caller last week who said, you know, you should check out his new book. And I had seen it, but I hadn't gotten it. But because I was like, oh, who is this Dr. Phil? I've heard of him, but where has he been all these years? We could have used him out there being a little noisy about this palpable sense that America is losing its way and losing its sanity. And we all feel that, right? Don't you feel that? Don't you just feel it? Gosh, you know, every time you turn on a screen and you sit around marveling, is it, gosh, how is Joe Biden not at 0% in the polls? How can anybody like this guy who is the worst president America's ever had? And I submit to you that no one actually does like Joe Biden, but somehow just the nature of political momentum and inertia, you have people who will probably still vote for him, some, but not enough in a fair election to beat Donald Trump. But this Phil McGraw, okay, let's just get to a clip or two that here he is, Dr. Phil, profiling the border. He's, you know, he says, hey, you know, we've got this border problem, and here's him promoting his show.
This is really important with regard to the trafficking.
What I'm holding in my hand here today is America's new slave trade. The cartels can now go from the smuggling of people into the trafficking of people.
So what are they doing to pay this off?
This is where many of the women are going to go into commercial sex. This is where many of the men are going to become burglars, robbers, drug dealers. All of the things you and I have talked about, get ready. America's going to be stunned at what we've allowed here.
Tonight on Dr. Phil Primetime.
There we go. So that's him promoing, and a very helpful text to studio comes in that says this, quote, Dr. Phil did a huge program on the border for two nights. He did one on the medical field about gender-related typo, I think, messing their kids up. I'm sure what's next, but I think it's good for people to watch because they trust him. And that's the thing I would say is that it does seem like this Dr. Phil has a trustworthy vibe, does he not? He does seem to have a trustworthy vibe. He seems like the kind of guy you were like, okay, this guy's talking, and he has something to say, and he seems kind of, you know, mellow and smart, and maybe we'll listen to him a little bit. And I guess his new company, Merritt Street Media, M-E-R-R-I-T-T. And I'm not here to promote his show, but I'm just here to, you know, could it be that you might be having some people out there who do have some pretty big platforms, and they see this country just going down the drain, and they want to get in there and fight for it a little bit. They want to get in there and add their voice before we completely and totally lose this place. I would like to think that that's what maybe Dr. Phil has in mind here. That, you know, at some point people out there might be saying, hey, enough is enough. You know, I can't stand to watch this country fall apart any longer. And it's one thing for us to do it, you know, not celebrity types, just normal people. But it's another thing for these people on the big platforms to do it, because that's where, you know, everybody goes after you, right? And they send the lawyers and they send the deep state after you, right? I mean, it's, say if you're a Tucker Carlson, for example, right? Or, you know, they get Dan Bongino off of YouTube and the rest of it. But Phil McGraw, Dr. Phil, had another good one, and this is him talking about DEI. DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, which seems to be the rage of the ruling class. You hear that term all the time. Seems to be the passion of the regime currently in charge of this country, but it doesn't seem very popular to me. And here's Dr. Phil talking to a proponent of DEI.
Some demographics come to the table and have to overcome racism, unconscious bias, misogyny. And so how do we help level the playing field for everyone?
Okay, so that means you're trying to create equality of outcome. Mm-hmm. That's what I hear you saying about playing God. Yeah. How do you create equality of outcome? When people aren't the same. You're right. Some people are shorter. Some people are taller looking over that fence. They can't both play in the NBA.
Right.
You can't create a quality of outcome. What gives a DEI program the right to come in and try and alter the nature of things to create a quality of outcome? So, that's been tried. That didn't work. That was called Marxism.
That was called Marxism. And yes, indeed, Dr. Phil brings that one home. I thought that was pretty good from Dr. Phil, who is a kind of steady, mellow guy, but got a little worked up there talking about DEI. And as we know, I mean, we should know equality of outcome, right? Who decides what that outcome is? Oh, well, that would be the people in power. And the people in power decide that the outcome they want is the outcome that helps keep them perpetuated and sustained in power. And as we know from history, and Marxism, and reading the Gulag Archipelago of Solzhenitsyn, one of the all-time greatest books ever written, that they get pretty ruthless in their desire to stay in power and what they will do to create the outcomes they want to stay in power. So another voice here to add to the discourse, and seems like Dr. Phil's a good listener, right? He'll sit there, he'll listen. He's going to listen, and he's going to be caring, and he's going to be a straight shooter. And that's a text to studio here, quote, Dr. Phil is a straight shooter, rational, logical, fact-based, fairly deadpan, and definitely knows how to put people in their place. He does not mean his words. He does not mince his words, is probably what that meant to say. And, I was wondering where Dr. Phil got his start. All kinds of texts coming in here. Dr. Phil got his start as a regular guest on Oprah. Bet he's not invited to her home in Montecito anymore. Maybe that's why I don't have that initial, like, wonderful reaction to Dr. Phil, because I think I subconsciously associate him with Oprah. And Oprah's, I guess, you know, is she okay? I guess, maybe. I've never watched even a minute of Oprah's show, so I don't know. I thought Oprah lived in Chicago, by the way, because I used to live downtown in dental school in downtown Chicago, Northwestern University, where they had the graduate schools, a bunch of them. And I was always told that Oprah lived right down the street in that big, tall tower. And by the way, I did used to see Stedman. Stedman be out walking the dog. Stedman is like the significant other, right, of Oprah. And I would see him out there routinely. I said hey to him a couple times. Said, hey, Stedman. He said, hey, how you doing, man? I said, real good. It's kind of cold here in Chicago. just paraphrasing a conversation with Stedman out walking the dog. So I know Oprah was living there. Anyway, so Dr. Phil arrives on the scene. Little George Strait bringing us in. Make Her Fall in Love. That's a good crooning dance tune when you're hanging out at a country club somewhere or another. I did get to know about George Strait back when I spent little time on a tractor out on the eastern plains of Colorado, some of the family farms. Just heard Jeff Hunt, great friend, great radio host, talking about the Farm Bureau. And yeah, that's where I kind of got my country music thing, being a kid from the suburbs here. But for me, summers were getting out to the open country, the farmland, hop on a tractor, a wheat truck, a combine, the rest of it. And that gets me, I want to play a little something about our farmers and ranchers here in a second. Go through that a little bit from, one of my cousins actually did this, and it kind of went viral online. Before that, real quick, I had all these texts to studio about, Dr. Phil. Hey, Matt, he's also a very common sense, logical man. Common sense. Yeah, Phil, people are saying, people seem to like Dr. Phil out here in Backbone Country. They call him a straight shooter. A common sense guy, doesn't mince his words, got his start with Oprah, which, fair enough. Okay, that's a huge platform. But now we've got Dr. Phil on the scene, and I think that can add something. And, you know, he's not going to be a blowhard type. He's not going to be yelling at you. He'll be listening, and maybe that's the kind of person you need to be persuasive or to help bring people out of the brainwashing that they have gone through. You know, if you've been brainwashed and you actually are sitting around thinking that it would be good to have a little bit more Biden as president in this country, if you think the wide open border is a great idea, World War III is a great idea, inflation, staggering inflation is a good idea, well, you know, maybe Dr. Phil could be the cure for some folks, where he just mellowly sits there and listens to you and he says, yeah, but, well, what about this? Anyway, regarding the farmers and ranchers and rural America, I noticed that Claire Dunn, my country singer, very famous country singer cousin who I've interviewed on this program, Deborah Flora interviewed Claire Dunn a while back. She's had some top hits, and she's done some CMT videos, and wonderful songwriter and just phenomenal singing voice. What a talent. Somehow or another, in my family, I know, no one's going to believe it, but yep, that's somehow in the same family. But listen to this one real quick. This was inspired by Jeff Hunt talking about the Farm Bureau just then.
You may not think that rural America has anything to do with you, but let me explain why it does. You see, small towns like this, like Keyes, Oklahoma, are all too common now. The agriculture economy has been hit so hard in this country that all the jobs associated with it are gone. The lumber stores are closed, the grocery stores are gone, the gas stations. What does this mean for you? It means that in agriculture in America, it's gotten so hard because of our politicians selling out the American farmer and rancher that people don't want to fight it anymore. They sell their land, they move to the big cities, and they live out the rest of their days as best they can. What does this mean for you? It means that with every producer we lose on the land in this country, it means that a corporation comes in and takes it over. And that if people like Bill Gates control our food supply in America, we lose our freedom. Like the wildfires in Texas and Oklahoma, for example. This devastating ordeal will cause many ranchers to go out of business, lessening the competition for Bill Gates and his lab-grown meat, and setting us on a path to where an elite few control our food supply and force us to eat not real food, or bugs, or worse. Remember, it's your food, it's your food supply. Follow and like, and I'll explain more about agriculture in our country.
Anyway, just pointing that one out there from Cousin Claire Dunn about, yeah, it's a thing, corporations going in and snapping up the land, huge tracts of land, big billionaires snapping up the land. Bill Gates, America's biggest landowner. Does that sound good to you? Bill Gates is a weird dude. And he's got all these ideas about what we need to be eating and how we need to live our lives and stuff. And he owns an awful lot of land. If I had my way, it would be a Jeffersonian republic in which everybody has a bit of land. Everybody finds a way to scrap out some land of their own. That was how Jefferson saw the future of America. And let's say you have millions of little landowners out there, some bigger than others, but some littler than others, and you can grow your own food and decide what kind of food supply you want. But this synthetic meat and the whole bug plan, they want you to eat the bugs. I'm afraid that's a non-starter over here in my department. I'm not going to be going for that. Not going to eat the bugs. I did mention earlier that apparently Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum has been checked into a hospital. He's ailing, has a significant illness of some kind. I'll refrain from additional commentary there, but he's the guy who's, hey, man, you will own nothing and you will be happy. Because they're going to own it for you. I do see a lot of risk in having too few people owning too much of the land. That starts to get into our freedom, starts to get into our ability to have the kind of food supply that, you know, we want, that America can control, right? You don't want too few people doing it because then they control it, not the broad swaths of this country and the normal Americans and the farmers and the ranchers, sold out, as Claire Dunn says, by politicians. Politicians selling out the American farmer and rancher. You do hear a lot of, you know, the Chinese government buying up American agricultural land and companies. Is that a good thing? Do you feel good about that? I don't feel too great about that. And in that little audio snippet, talked about Keyes, Oklahoma. Keyes, Oklahoma, little town in the panhandle where, yes, that's where I've done a little bit of work back in the younger days. And, yeah, when I was out there, it was a thriving little small town. Churches were full on Sundays. And now it is, and I haven't been there in a few years, but I did go through a couple years ago, and it did seem to be diminished as that agricultural economy has changed. And not for the better, okay? Farmers are still doing all right. They can still make it and all that, but I'd say it's probably harder. And if we could have politicians who help out the American farmer and American rancher, it'll be better for, among other things, our food supply, the American food supply, which is a big, big deal, and that does flow into national security itself, right? That's a national security issue. Food, I mean, what's more important than that when it comes down to it? People don't really think of it, do they? You just go to the grocery store, and in the Biden era, you pay more for everything. You pay way too much for everything. And actually, Charles Payne was just saying that about how inflation is, yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. The part-time work is a red flag. The wages are a red flag. And, of course, foreign-born getting all of the jobs while native-born are losing jobs is obviously a red flag.
Yeah, red flags. They're seeing it. The inflation brought in, ushered in by Joe Biden. You know, that's where we're headed. By the way, John Rich, who's a country singer. Country singer, good friend of Cat Turds on Twitter, talking about Biden's inflation, quote, if you gained 10 pounds 3 years ago, 8 pounds 2 years ago, 6 pounds last year, but only 3.5 pounds this year, have you only gained 3.5 pounds? Or have you gained 27.5 pounds? The left would like you to believe inflation is only up 3.5%. But add it up since 2021, and it's closer to 30%. Nice try, Democrats, but inflation is additive. We're putting on weight, folks. Be right back.